Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to talk this morning about living with distinction, all right? Living with distinction, and we wrapped up our series, The Psalms for the Season. We did that last Sunday. And so we're going to be moving into a new year. So talking about living with distinction. Next week, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to kick off that week of prayer in January there. So living with distinction. This song kind of maybe sets the tone a little bit as we begin to enter into a new year. I don't know how you're feeling, but I always like to know, evaluate the years, thinking, God, what all happened this year? What was the good things? What were some of the negative things? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What can I do better? You know, think about some of those things. And so I think as we enter into a new year, just knowing that God's presence is going with us, I think can really help us and give us the confidence that we need. Amen? And so with that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. The book of Exodus is named Exodus because it tells the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt and God's bringing them into the promised land. So they exit out of Egypt, right? And so we know that the people had been there 400 years. They've grown in number over that time period of those 400 years. And what started out under Joseph, where they were blessed by the people of God and by God himself, they were blessed and they multiplied. They lost favor with the Egyptians over time and with Pharaoh. And so they became enslaved over a period of time. And so when God brings them out, he's bringing them out of Egypt, but he's also bringing them out of slavery. And so you have the plagues that happen, and finally God brings them out. He delivers them through the wilderness, and they come to Mount Sinai. And it's at Mount Sinai that God would give Moses the Ten Commandments, right? How many have seen Ten Commandments? Watched the movie, right? And it's there they experience the power and the presence of God. Only Moses is able to go up that mountain, right, along with Joshua and his aide, right? Joshua was his aide. He was able to go up with Moses. But only Moses actually talks with God and communes with God, receives the Ten Commandments, brings them down to the people. The people are not even allowed to touch the mountain unless they are consumed and destroyed. Okay? So there was this reverence and there was this fear. And so it was, but they also understood the presence of God and that when God was on their side, nothing was impossible, right? The Red Sea could part, the manna could come from heaven, the quail could appear out in the desert and they could be fed, the bitter water could be turned sweet. God could provide supernaturally when God's presence was with his people. What we see in chapter 33 is that now God is saying, I want you to leave this mountain and you're going to go through the desert and you're going to go to the promised land. And so this is where I want us to pick up our story. Because this is what God has to say. So let's begin in verse 1. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, dear God. I pray in these moments we have that your Holy Spirit is here just to speak to us, that you would speak your word to us as we enter a new year and close out this year. We ask it in your name. Amen. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people that brought out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised you in oath to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. So that is what we call the promised land. It would be much of what is modern-day Israel. I will send an angel before you. Notice that, right? Who had gone before them up to this point? God himself, hadn't he, right? They had the pillar, the fire at night, and the pillar cloud during the day. And God says, I'm going to send my angel. And some think this would not just any angel, but it was maybe reference to Christ pre-incarnate before he came in flesh, the angel of the Lord. And you'll see that term throughout Scripture, the angel of the Lord, and a lot of people think that term angel of the Lord was a reference to Christ himself. Abraham would have that experience. He would meet with this angel of the Lord to reason with him about Sodom and Gomorrah so that it wouldn't be destroyed, right? And that wasn't Abraham. It was Abraham. So, and Lot. And so he says, I want you to go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are stiff-necked people. All right? Stiff-necked people. All right, any of you stiff-necked there? Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, maybe a little stiff-necked. What does God mean by that? They wanted to do their own thing, right? They wanted their way. And God says, you have to follow my ways. But they wanted to do their own way. And God has a reasoning because he says, you are stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you along the way. In other words, God doesn't have a lot of patience. And he says, you know what? I might lose my patience and destroy you. Therefore, I'm going to send an angel before you so that you're not destroyed. When the people heard this, these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments, no makeup, no jewelry. For the Lord had said to Moses, I tell the Israelites, you are stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped themselves of their ornaments at Mount Horeb. The question that the people of Israel are being faced with is, we're going to leave this mountain where we've experienced the presence of God. Even though at times it was fearful, we know that God was with us. And when God was with us, there was no enemy that could destroy us, and God provided for us. But now we have to leave this mountain and go to the promised land without the presence of God. He's going to send his angel, but without the presence of God. That was what they were being forced to deal with, but it also, what they had to deal with and what we also have to deal with is, how can God's presence dwell with human beings, with sinful human beings? How can God's presence go with us? Isn't that the deeper question? Without being destroyed, right? How can God's presence go with us? And it is God's presence that made the people of Israel distinct from the rest of the world around them. Okay, so Tessa didn't really know what I was going to be talking about this morning, but when even just the idea of tithing and giving, that makes you distinct from the rest of the world, much of the world around you. To come to church on a cold December morning, when it'd be better to stay home by the fireplace or in warm heat, right? That makes you a little distinct from the rest of the world around you. You know, when it's nice weather, hey, you know, I'll go to church if I don't have anything else going. But even for you to be, to make going to church a regular part of your life, to worship God, to give of your time, to give of your talent, that makes you distinct from much of the world around you. And then the fact that God's presence is in you and that you can hear from God and that God can direct your life and that miracles can happen, right? That's what the song talked about here just a while back. That even the impossible is a reality for God, isn't it? I love that. That part of the song. Even the impossible is possible with God. It's a reality for God. And so the people of Israel were going to be forced to leave the mountain except for without the presence of God. And there's a few things that I want to pull out of this passage, and we're going to work our way through the whole chapter. But the first thing that I see that we can learn from this account, that we can learn from Moses, is first of all, is don't proceed without the presence of God. As you go into a new year, don't proceed without the presence of God. Moses was smart enough, and the people of Israel, even though they were stiff-necked, were smart enough to realize, hey, we're not going to go unless God's presence goes with us. Right? We're not going to go unless your presence goes with us. And just think about that as you go into this next year. Are you willing to go it alone? You can. A lot of people do. The smart and wisest person would say, you know what, I'm not going to enter into this new year until I've heard from God and I have encountered God and I know His presence is going with me and that He is leading and directing me, that I know His ways, that I know His heart. And the problem with the people of Israel is that they were stubborn, they want to do their own thing and do their own things, their own way. You know what? We can be hard on the Israelites, but we sometimes fall into that category too, don't we? We have a lot of Israelite in us. We have a lot of humanity in us. And so Moses, to his credit, doesn't give up. He does not proceed without the presence of God. Instead, there was a tent that was pitched outside the camp of Israel. Now, this is different from the tabernacle. So the tabernacle, from what I can gather, was built around this same time. And maybe this tent of meeting was a substitute until the tabernacle was completed and finished. But the tabernacle was in the center of the camp. And it was put there for a purpose. It was the 12 tribes of Israel were laid out all around in a circle. Okay, and in the center of all these camps and these tribes was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle literally means to dwell with. In other words, God's plan and His purpose was that He would dwell in the center of His people, right? And to be in the center of their lives, of all that they did. That was God's plan. But Moses had this tent outside the community, and it was called the tent of meeting, which is what the tabernacle was also referred to as well at times, the tent of meeting. But Moses would go out to this tent of meeting, and there he would pray and seek the face of God. And it says that the pillar of cloud, the cloud would come down and rest upon it as a symbol of God's presence, and he would go on there and he would meet with God. And so that's what Moses did. He sought the face of God. So that is the second point. I want us to get us into the second point. Let's read that together in verse 7. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. I kind of get the impression that Moses was the one that went into the tent the most, okay? But it says that anybody could go into it. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped, and each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. All right? Now, God is spirit, right? Okay, so in times in Scripture, God is giving human-like features, right? The face of God or the hand of God. God is spirit. So Moses didn't actually sit down with God and sit across the table, but that's what it was like, okay? And in other words, that God spoke directly to Moses. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, we pray to God, and we try to sense and hear what God is speaking to us and by His Spirit. But what we gather from this is that, you know, Moses was able to speak directly with God, and that maybe God spoke audibly to him, and that there wasn't that guesswork, that it was very clear what God was speaking to Moses. All right. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. I find that interesting, isn't it? Joshua, even after Moses would leave, Joshua would stay in the tent. And it would be Joshua that ultimately would lead the people into the promised land, wouldn't he? In his old age, Joshua would do that. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. So Moses is saying, you want me to lead the people, but you're not going to go with me. You says, I know you by name, and I have found favor with you. That's what God, you've told me that. If you are pleased with me, then teach me your ways. Beautiful prayer, isn't it? That should be our prayer. Lord, teach us your ways so that I may know and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is whose people? Your people. Moses is saying, hey, I'm the leader, but they're your people that you've asked me to lead. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow, what just happened there? God changed his mind. Did you know you can change the mind and heart of God? Moses did it a few different times. He interceded for the people of God in behalf of the people of God. He went before God and interceded and mediated between them. And God says, you know what? I'm going to change my heart. I'm going to change my mind. I will go with you. Wow. Verse 15, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? What else will distinguish us except your presence? That's what makes us unique. That's what makes us different from the rest of the people all around us, is the presence of God in us and upon us, guiding us. The second point is to seek God, to know Him and His ways. I think we need to have the wisdom to not proceed without God's presence. Sometimes we're very quick to do things and we just run off and do things without praying about things, without seeking the face of God. We're just very impulsive. How many impulsive people we have here? All right, we got a few. All right. About half of you raised your hands. All right. That should have. We're impulsive. We go off and we charge off and do things before we seek, and we know what God's heart is, what He is calling us to do. But Moses understood he was not going to proceed unless the presence of God went with him, and he was going to seek God to know Him and His ways. And he comes before God and he gets an answer from God, and God says, I will send my presence with you. And that gave him clarity, it gave him confidence, and he knew what he was supposed to do. Just think about it in your own life. If you're just going into a new year without any guidance, without any focus, without the assurance of the presence of God, it just kind of leaves you floundering, doesn't it? But if we know that God is going before us and that He's given us some clear direction, we've sought Him and He has spoken to us, we have His peace, that just gives us that assurance that we need to enter a new year and to know His heart. Amen? Gives you confidence. I don't know if any of you got into the... I know some of you went to the movies over Christmas and stuff, but I don't know how many of you saw the movie The Darkest Hour. It's on the life of Winston Churchill. Great movie. It only showed up in the Grand, up in Lincoln. Maybe it's still showing. It's getting very good reviews. It just didn't open up in a lot of places. But it really deals with when Winston Churchill came to power in England. He basically was nominated in. And if you watch the movie Dunkirk that came out this summer, I think, it really helps to fill in the gaps of Dunkirk. Because Dunkirk, you come in, there's not a lot of dialogue. There's not a lot of, it's just you're kind of left. You have to really know the history behind it. Otherwise, you're kind of lost. So this movie kind of really helps fill in the gaps. It's during this initial stage when Winston Churchill comes to power that the troops that are trapped at Dunkirk, about 300,000 of them are going to be wiped out by the Germans unless they're somehow rescued. So it's during this that they send a civilian fleet of boats across the channel and they bring them back. And I think they said that a bulk of the people, most of that 300,000, actually survived and they were able to bring them back. It was one of the greatest feats in human history. But during this difficult hour, Winston Churchill was getting a lot of pressure to go into peace talks with Hitler. His war cabinet, he lost the support of them. They all said, we need to talk about peace with Hitler. And he knew what that would mean, that they would have to surrender a lot of their rights, who they were as a nation. He wasn't finding peace with it. And that day they were going to make the decision. They were going to go to the cabinet room, and he was on his way there being chauffeured, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to take a detour. And so at a stoplight, he jumps out of the car, and he goes to the subway. He gets in the subway, and he begins to ride the subway. And of course, the people begin to recognize him. And he sits down and he begins to dialogue with them. And he goes, what do you people think? Should we do peace talks with Hitler, or what should we do? And the answer came back just from the common people, said, no, definitely, we'll fight. We'll fight until we're dead and until there's the last breath in us. We're going to fight. No way should we surrender. No way should we give up. And that's what he had been feeling in his heart. But hearing from the people gave him the confidence. So he left there, went into Parliament, into their discussions, and he was able to then present a speech with confidence, with boldness, that turned the tide of England at that point, the United Nations. And it wasn't without loss. It wasn't without some defeat along the way, but it was a turning point in the war for England, and that they braved through. What happened? He heard from the people that gave him confidence to move forward and do what he felt in his heart, but he needed to know other people were on that same page. And then he got the support of the king. And I think when we enter into a new year, we also need to hear from, not so much from the people, but we need to hear from who? We need to hear from God. What is God saying to us? How can we do that? Well, you can find your prayer closet at home. You can find an altar at the church. You can drive off in the country someplace where there's a heater right now, where it's warm. But you get away where there's no distractions and take some time just to be with God. And a spiritual retreat doesn't have to be 3-4 days. It can be just an afternoon where you take 3-4 hours. Say, I'm just going to spend some time with God. And one of the most powerful experiences was this last summer where I did that, actually this last spring. It just took 3-4 hours just as a spiritual retreat. And God really helped me in just making some decisions and the direction for my life and what God was calling me to. It was a pivotal moment, and there was some decisions that were coming my way that I didn't know if I wanted them or not, and I needed to hear God's voice and all that. And so those times are important because it gives us the confidence that we need to seek the face of God. Let's finish this up. Where did I... verse 18. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." Remember we talked about glory last week? Glory, that word, kabod is the Hebrew word for glory. And so Ichabod is, you know, you think of Ichabod Crane, but Ichabod was actually a name that was used in Scripture. It meant the glory of God has departed, okay? Kabod really means weightiness, so it was, he's not only just asking for God's visible presence, he's asking that for God's presence that he can feel in a tangible way, the weight of God's presence. He says, "God, show me your glory." And the Lord says, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. I'll proclaim my name." And the presence, the name, the Lord, your presence. "I have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion." But he says, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." In other words, if you see me in all my glory, you're going to be a toast, yes. You're going to be toast. Then God said, "There's a place near me where you can stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of that rock. I'll cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you'll see my back. But my face must not be seen." And I don't think I think we have a hard time grasping that because if you've walked with God very long, you've probably sensed God's presence. But it is minor, it is minute to the presence we will experience in heaven when we're before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we understand that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, I think we can only imagine what that'll be like. But it is just being in God's presence will be more than our human bodies are wired for. The fuses are going to pop, is what he's saying, you know, right? You never had the breaker and you get too much of a load and they pop, right? And that's what God is saying. He goes, "I can only show you so much of my presence because you're not wired to experience all my glory." But he goes, "I'm going to give you a taste of it." And, you know, Moses was distinct, wasn't he? When he would come out of the presence of God, His face glowed, right? They said it really glowed. They could tell that Moses had been with God. You know, I think in your lives, people can tell when you've been in the presence of God and when you've been with God. It's evident in your life. It makes you distinct from the rest of the world and from other people. And this morning, as we kind of wrap things up, I'm going to have the musicians come. Do you want to live a normal life, or do you want to live a life of distinction? How could seeking the presence of God and encountering His glory and presence change your day? How could it change your week? How could it change your month? And how could it change this coming year? To know that God is walking with you. You think, would God walk with me? I'm stiff-necked. I fail Him. There's times I've outright disobeyed God. Why would God want to walk with me? I have unholy thoughts at times. That's the marvelous thing about our Lord and our Savior and about God, is that He loved us so much that He wanted to have a relationship with us. He pursued us, folks. He sent us His Son who would die on the cross so that we could be in relationship with Him. And it's because of His grace and His mercy that we can draw close to God without being consumed. And the marvelous thing is that God wants to walk with us. I think we do need to seek His face. I don't think we can take it for granted that we can just go into a new year and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I was baptized, and I invited Him into my heart and my life, and I just go off and do my own thing and expect God's presence. I don't think you can do that. But I do believe that if you take some time as a person or as a family, as a husband and wife, to seek His presence and to seek His face, I believe that you will hear from God. And you'll get the assurance that He's walking with you. And why is that important? Because some things are going to go well, and some things you're going to really see God's blessing. But if it's like anybody else's life, you're also going to have hit some valleys along the road. And you're saying, God, where'd you go? I don't see you. Right? But you have to really bank on that assurance that God, you promised that you were going to walk with me. And I heard your voice. And that's when we walk by faith, knowing that God's presence is with us, right? Because we've heard Him. We have the assurance that He's going to go with us. God has not called us to walk alone in our own wisdom and own power. We can, but then we'd be no different from the rest of the world. I believe that God wants His people to be distinct. And we're distinct by seeking Him and allowing His presence to be evident in our lives. It's nothing that we have to do, but as we come before Him, as we seek Him, His presence is evident in our life. It's evident. People will notice it. You don't even have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. It's just going to be there. Going to be there because God's presence is upon you. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to have those that are in help with prayer, Victor and Yolanda, Christy. If you need prayer this morning, but I encourage you just to, we're going to close this course. Would you just make an altar where you're at, whether you, if you want to kneel, if you want to stand, but just to hear God's voice. And maybe even just to take this sometime this week is what I encourage you, just to carve out some time where you just can get alone with God and say, God, hey, we're starting a new year. You know, we can have dreams, we can have plans. Our board is going through a book, just looking at planning, long-range planning. You know, you can get all, put a bunch of stuff on paper and say, hey, we want to do this, we want to do that. Great. But what are God's priorities? What is His heart? maybe you're on the same page, but maybe he said, you know what, that's going to happen, but this is what needs to be the focus right now. What is his heart? And I believe that as we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him, he will do what? He will direct our paths, is what Proverbs 3 says. He will direct our paths. God will be faithful, and he'll send his presence with us. He'll go with us. Amen. Lord, this morning, if we don't know you as our Lord and our Savior, that's where it all begins. Lord, we can probably all identify with the Israelites. We want to do our own thing, and sometimes it serves us well, but sometimes it gets us into trouble. Sometimes it leads us far away from you. Lord, you have to not only be our Savior, but you must also be our Lord. And Lord, you've given us the gift, the guarantee, which is your Holy Spirit within us when we accept you as our Lord and our Savior. And you've promised to place your Spirit upon us, your Spirit of grace and truth, your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that as the people of God, we're a chosen people. We've been called out to be priests, to be a holy nation, to be the people of God. But Lord, it's not just a label we wear. It's all about your presence upon our lives that makes us distinct and that sets us apart from everybody else. Without that presence, Father, we're nobody. We're just like everybody else. It's you in us and through us, upon us, that makes us different. And that makes us a light to the rest of the world. Radiates the presence of God and saying, I want to be like them. I want what they have. There's something in them that is different, and I want that in my own life. And so, Lord God, I just pray that as we carve out time to be with you, to hear your voice, you send us with your presence. And as we enter into this new year, we can know that we're going in your spirit, that we know your ways, we know your heart, and that you are walking with us. Hallelujah, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I don't know how God will reveal himself to you. I do know that Moses was on the backside of a desert taking care of sheep one day when God spoke to him out of a burning bush and said, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. There wasn't a temple, there wasn't a church, none of that. He's in the desert. But it became a holy place as God's presence came into that. And I don't know where God will speak to you, but any place where God's presence shows up is a holy place. Amen? It could be out on a dirt road. It could be a room in your house. It could be by the fireplace today. It could be driving down the road and you sense God's presence come in. All I know is that God is present, and when we cry out to him, when we seek his face, and if you don't have that assurance about going into this new year, the best thing you can do is just find that time alone with God. Say, God, I'm not willing to go into this new year without knowing that your presence is going to go with me, without hearing from you, just like Moses did. And I believe that God, in his goodness, isn't going to say, hey, tough luck. I don't think he's going to say that. I think God will speak. I think he'll guide you. He'll give you the assurance that you need. If you'll take the time just to hear his voice so that you can know his way, know his presence. Father, this morning, we thank you for your goodness, dear God. I thank you that you love us with an undying love that pursues us. And you want to be in relationship with us. And Lord God, we are sinful, but because of Christ, we're made holy, we're made pure. And because of Christ, we can approach the very presence of God without being destroyed. And Lord, I pray that as we enter into this new year, I don't know what it's going to hold for us. We don't know the things that are going to happen in our world, the things that are going to happen in our nation, in our community, within our family. We don't know the good or the bad. But what we can know is that your presence goes before us and that your presence is with us. That is the one thing that we can know. We can know your ways. Lord, I pray that we all take advantage of coming before your throne of grace to find the help that we need and to know your presence. We give you the thanks, we give you the praise, and we ask in your name. And everybody said, amen. Greet each other and say, what are we going to have you say? Happy New Year. And tell them to be distinct. Be distinct this year, Mary Beth. All right? You don't have an issue with that.